mighty presence of God. I thank God for our praise team, for our musicians this morning. Amen. I thought, boy, we can praise the Lord. Amen. There's a freedom to worship in this place this morning. And anytime we worship and set our attention, our focus, and our mind, not just in our lips, but in everything that we're doing, if we're offering up the sacrifice of our lives and our praise and our thoughts, believe that he has something for us this morning. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you some remembrance. You know, Pastor Hudson has been teaching the last few weeks, I believe, on the topic of how to be fruitful in every area of life. How to be fruitful in every area of life. Our theme focus for this year has been, you are chosen, you are appointed, and you are fruitful. We've talked about how hope works, the blessings of the sixth day, a new attitude for a higher altitude, preparing your heart and life for increase, principles of increase, and last week in part 7, Pastor taught on kingdom ethics and integrity. And on the Welcome Center, there are the notes are available. He mentioned last week he would have notes, but they are on the Welcome Center. There's 2 pages of notes from last week's message, Kingdom Ethics and Integrity. And anytime you have the man of God, woman of God, ministers in this ministry that stand before you, it's nothing to be taken lightly. Because I know that when the theme came that says you are chosen, appointed, and fruitful, that's a word for us at New Covenant in this season at this time. And it's not just a slogan. And the words I even have on my notes are not just, you know, come out of my laptop, I print them off. When I hear from the men and women of God in my life, and Pastor Hudson in particular, I know that he's speaking to us individually in our lives, whatever season we're in, about increase. But collectively as a ministry, that word is for us. So I want to receive what God is saying to me and to New Covenant at this time about increase. So like I said, you know, it's very important and it's vital, it's urgent that we stay in tune and prayerful and focused about what God says in what seasons of our lives and ministry. Because the result, I'm guaranteeing you, the result is that we're going to receive, we're going to be blessed. That's how the kingdom works. You do what the word says, you listen to what the word says, and you will walk in blessings. You will look around and blessings will be following you. Amen. This ministry is blessed. Our lives individually and collectively, because we become doers of the word. And that's what we're going to read about in James. And you may say, well, you know, Sister Hudson, I've read James 1, verse 19 through 25. It's one of the first verses I learned. I mean, I remember being in Sunday school and they talked about being, you know, not only a hearer, I need to be a doer. I think I've read that verse probably 50 or 60 times. I've heard it taught about 25 times. I mean, really? Well, see, that's a danger. Anytime we think, including myself, that we've heard enough of one particular topic, even if it's about how to be fruitful in every area of life, and you're chosen, appointed, and fruitful, how long is Pastor Hudson going to be on that theme? Until we get it. Right. Until the Holy Spirit knows we have it, right? See, that's how it works. Anytime I think I've heard enough, that should be a red flag that says you haven't really heard.
That's right.
Because we're going to read in a verse, I believe, that says, you know, we need to receive the word with meekness and humility. Which means I need to keep hearing. I need to keep listening and hearing and doing what the word. I haven't learned enough to know I don't need to read James again. There couldn't be anything new that Sister Pat is going to tell me about being a doer of the word. But the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And I don't believe he gave me, first of all, this message because you already knew everything I was going to say. Well, I don't want to waste your time, and I surely don't want to waste my time studying for hours on a message that you can tell me, I read it before, I heard it before. That's not meekness. It's not humility. And if we take that attitude, God will not continue to help us to increase our faith. So we're going to talk this morning about Listen, hear, do, receive. How the Word of God comes and causes us to prosper. We're going to talk about applying the Word that brings increase. First of all, in Romans, I'll just read this to you. You don't have to turn there. It says, Romans 10:14, this is NIV. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is about the gospel message. We know that this particular setting or context is about receiving the gospel, believing the gospel. But we still need to keep hearing. After initial salvation, we're not finished with the whole thing. We need to keep hearing. So faith comes from hearing, not from having heard. Amen. Hearing is continual. It's active. Amen. When I say I've heard that before, I've heard James before, I've heard about being a doer, you're telling me that's passive. Mm-hmm. It's in the past. I don't really need to hear it again. Right. But I don't know about you. I don't want to be the one that has heard. I want to be the one that's hearing. Amen. I want to be the person that keeps on hearing because I want to hear what God keeps saying to me. And it could be something different, even in the same scripture. Maybe you've read verses before. You've listened to Pastor Hudson minister the word before. You purchased a CD or another minister that ministers a word, or you heard something, but you get the CD and you're driving in your car. You're at home, maybe in worship, and you put the CD in. You start listening to the same message again. And you and I both know you hear something different.
That's right.
And if you listen to it 2 weeks later, you're going to receive something else.
Yeah.
It's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to know at that time, and he wants us to keep knowing. And so that's why we are here. That's why we're gathered, because faith comes from hearing and continuing to hear. We're going to look at James. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So right now, you're receiving with meekness. You're opening up and saying, this is a word that I've heard, but I want to keep hearing this word. In another version, it says, humbly receive the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. We can understand this principle in another way because we know how to receive. Now, being a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, as a matter of fact, one of the most important things that I consider my objective for the year is teaching four, five, and six-year-old children how to read. And I know that sounds pretty simple to you because everybody here can read. But for a four-year-old or five-year-old, sometimes they're six, when they come into my room or if they saw any words up here, it could be Chinese. For them, it's a foreign language because they cannot recognize few, if any, words that are on anything printed. So it'd be like me going to pick up a book in Chinese or, you know, another language. I wouldn't even have a clue. See, as adults, you take for granted everybody can read. Not. They wouldn't need teachers if they could, right? So I begin the process. On the first day of school, they come in. They need to be able to tell me, you know, what their names. Now, their name is not Man-Man and Boo-Boo and Pumpkin. So I got to tell them when they come to school, I know your mama called you Man-Man and Mustard and Munchie, but I'm not going to call you Man-Man, Mustard, and Munchie because your name is James Brown. Now, repeat with me. When I say, what is your name? You have to say, my name is James Brown. You don't believe it, but it's true. I'm serious. It is really true. You would be amazed at how many children that start school do not know their name. And not only that, how many parents don't even come the first day of school to help them to make the transition. Who puts a 5-year-old child on a bus with no identification and just says go to school the first day of kindergarten and have never been to school before? I mean, take the bus, walk, get a taxi cab, bring your baby to school, meet that teacher the first day. I have some that do, but I have most that don't. And some come without siblings, cousins, or anybody. And this is kind of funny. I don't know if I told this before, but this will give you an idea. I had a little guy come in. There are four or five kindergartens every year. And we knew he was in kindergarten, but he could not say his name. We couldn't understand him. So everybody took their list, and we kept thinking, what is he saying? He had a speech impediment. It wasn't funny, but it is kind of funny. So he just couldn't tell us, do you have this child? Well, what's his name? So finally, we're pondered, and we're all standing there. So he unzips his book bag. He takes out a theme notebook, and his mother had enough sense to put his name and address on his theme notebook. So he took the theme notebook, he put it up in my face, he said, Gerald's Rule, his name is Gerald Crow. Gerald, nice to meet you. Well, I mean, of course, he's got speech help since then. He's in first grade now, or maybe second grade. But the point was, he knew how to translate to us, here's my name, read it, lady. I've been telling you for 10 minutes, my name is Gerald Crow, don't you get it? So thank God for that mom because, now we know he's in, room 102. He wasn't my student. He was across the hallway. But it's important, that we give this firsthand foundational information. From there, we go to letter recognition. From letter recognition, upper and lowercase, we go to sounds. They have to know the sounds of consonants and vowels. And from consonant and vowels, they can begin phonetics, which is k, at, says, cat, but, at. Then you change the first letter, and they can go from cat to bat to rat to sack. So they learn how to change words up. Then there are words that are called sight words or high-frequency words, the, is, from. Those are words that you don't have to sound out, but they have to learn them because they're in most literature. And you teach how they can learn about 100 words, including numbers and colored words, but not by phonetic sounds, by recognition. Well, I haven't had one child come into my room on the first day of school and say, Miss Hudson, I know how to read. Get out of my face. Not one. Not one child has come in my room and said, I heard it, know it, heard it, done it before. Okay, you don't have to teach me how to read. So why do we act like that? Heard it, done it, been there. I don't need to hear that again, Lord. Holy Spirit, really? You got anything new this week? It's the same attitude. It's the same attitude. But my little babies come in, and I mean, I'm not going to cry, but I mean, to have a child come in who can't recognize his or her own name, and then in June when I give my kindergarten state reading test, and they can read 3 paragraphs, wow, I mean, I'm thinking, baby, you did all right. I mean, but you get the parents, just last Friday we sent home 50 word cards, back and front with 100 words. And every week we made a set of 10, which they cut out, they practiced, they made their own flashcards, we put them in a little bag, and finally every week they would say, can I take my word cards home? No. Next week, nope, wait until we get the entire list done, because they can't do everything in 1 week. So finally I prepared a letter to put with the word cards. I said, now if you take them home, and little brother, little sister, and boo-boo and them, they get your bag and they tear them up, let your mama know I'm not going back there again. It took us 7 weeks to get all these words together, so you put them in your drawer, under your clothes. I mean, you gotta talk to kids where they live, right? Wherever you hide everything, that's where you hide these words. Don't put them in anywhere where little brother, I let them play in the room being the teacher. So Galen's the teacher, he shows me the word cards, and if I don't know them, he says, the, it's the word the. But you would be surprised how they enjoy being the teacher and the student. So then I would take the cards and then I would try to let Galen say the words. Well, that teaches by sight. And so at the end of those 7 or 8 weeks we did the word cards, I felt they were ready to take them home because they really knew how to read them. And the ones that didn't, the parents can help them. So how much more we would do that in the Word of God. It's called teach, review, teach, review. Listen. Let's look in James. Let me tell you this one short story. I'm a teacher, but this I'll make this one brief. toward the end of the year, we get into somewhat of a behavior management system because they're excited. They know that the end of the year is coming. And just recently, I had to go to a reward system that I hadn't used all year. And this, again, deals with listen, hear, do, receive. So the children that have been with me most of the year, we had guidelines. They know the guidelines. And now they're trying to slip away from them. So I had to find another way to get them to listen, do, receive. So we're doing Friday parties. On Monday, I say it's going to be an ice cream party. Last Friday was popcorn movie party. And have a check system, explain the procedure. They know on Monday all about the reward system. Listen to me, hear what I'm saying, do what I'm saying. Friday, everybody celebrates. I haven't had a Friday yet where everybody celebrates. It's just the nature of children. And I even give second and third chances. So if you have three check marks, but you clean your act up, all the check marks are wiped away. Amen. You start all over again. Yes. Maybe on Friday, 25 of you will have ice cream cones. 25 of you can get the movie. And they get so excited, and then pretty soon I get them from gym and they kick somebody in the back. Okay, check two. So, I mean, what do I do? So I finally decided last Friday was movie popcorn Friday, and I had six children who were repeat offenders. From as far as disrespect, calling me a B word. Yes, this is kindergarten. Screaming at me, beating up people, disrespectful to the gym teacher. I'm not talking about little issues like not picking up paper. Well, I'm talking about serious, serious behavior issues. I don't know what else to do. So I tried this plan with 5 and 6 year old children. I had six children who were repeat offenders, so I said, well, you won't participate. I put them in one area of the room, turn them toward the wall. I know it sounds pretty hard, but you got to do what you got to do to keep control. I can't spank them. And they had to write 25 times, I will be good in school. I said, next week, you guys are going to celebrate with us next Friday. And we'll see what happens. But I decided it's not so much about that they don't want to do it. I really believe that all of them really want to receive whatever I'm giving them. But I've decided it's about training. It's all about training or lack thereof. Those four or five that I have that are repeat offenders are acting out of what they've been trained to do. And the only change that's going to happen for the outside behaviors is if something on the inside of them changes. Something on the inside of them has to change in their life. They've got to have a different environment, a different outlook. I've preached, I've taught, I've been the example, I've used other examples in the room. So what is it about their lives? And there are children that are very, they have some serious issues. So I realize I need to reward them still with some other things. If they can't celebrate with me on Friday, I'm going to let them do other things because I know that they're making the effort. I don't want to be the discouragement every time. So, but it's the lack of training. Sometimes it's a home environment. It could be just many, many different things going on. Have one serious issue in the classroom about some violence that happened that I'm aware of. And the little boy has struggled all year about violence in his room. And so he's acting some of that out. So I've got to find other ways to help him on the inside, to change some behaviors on the outside. Think about our lives. The Holy Spirit has been using this whole program the last 2 weeks to get my attention. Starting with me first. Am I listening, hearing, and doing so that I can receive? It's about the blessings that we can receive from the Lord. James 1, because we're all learning and growing, just like my children are learning and growing. It says in New King James, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In the NIV version, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." It says we need to look intently into the perfect law and continue not forgetting what we have heard, but doing it, and we'll be blessed in what we do. Step one, four steps we need to remember in this progression toward being blessed in what I do. Well, the first thing I got to do is what you're doing right now is you're being quick to listen. In verse 19, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Right now, you're hearing me. And to me, there are levels of hearing. Right now, I hear a hum. That's just a sound. Sometimes we hear children in children's church. We might hear a siren that's going down the street. But hearing can be a level of just sounds that transfer into our ears, into our eardrum. So you can hear me. But there's another level of hearing that says we understand fully by listening attentively. And some of you are taking notes right now. So you are hearing me on a different level. You right now, you're understanding fully and you're listening attentively. Listen means to concentrate on hearing somebody or something. You're paying attention to something and you take it into account. Pay attention, concentrate, focus on, keep on your mind, and take notice of. You know, our senses are very important to learning. Hear, see, touch, taste, feel, all of those. I probably left out one. But they're very important to learning and absorbing our environment. So hearing is vital because that's how we receive understanding. You teach a child how to speak, say, da-da. Well, they hear what we say, and they may say, daddy, da-da. So they have to be able to hear us in order to repeat what we're saying. That's how important listening and hearing is in our lives, that we receive knowledge and learning through listening and hearing, but it has to be a focused and an attentive hearing. You know, maybe there is a time when you have, all of us that are raising children, and you give a, you know, direction. Maybe it's, you know, clean up your room, be back by midnight, whatever it is. We give our children a lot of instructions. And as you become a better parent, you follow up the instructions with, did you hear me? Because you have to find out from them. You know, you gotta ask that child right there before they turn away, did you hear what I said? Because when they come back around and it's not done, you can say, you said you heard me. Right? So repeat what I said. You said clean my room up. Okay, so you heard me? Mama, I heard you. Well, 3 hours later, I walk in the room and it's not clean. Well, how many of you know hearing me was not the excuse? What the problem is, you heard and didn't do. Well, that's me sometimes. I won't say you, I'll just say me. That's me sometimes with the Holy Spirit. See, we can always use these analogies with our children. Yeah, I told you to clean that room up. Laura said, yeah, I told you to pray for so-and-so. Right? We easily train our children and teenagers. And if you're a boss, you train people at work. But when we transfer it over into what the Holy Spirit or leaders in this ministry are saying or pastor is saying or whatever, then it's almost like, I don't know about that one. What if your child said to you, you know, I need you to clean this room up, take out the trash, be back by midnight. I think I'm coming in at 3 a.m. anyway. You would be standing or sitting by the door. Come on. Or texting or calling that phone. Because we expect our children, or if you are a supervisor, you're expecting those that you're in charge of to respond to whatever directive you gave. And you can say, did you hear me? And they will say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Whatever you hear, whatever we're hearing now, we're responsible for. Whatever I hear, I'm responsible for. And my excuse cannot be, I didn't hear you. So we're hearing, we're understanding. And that's what the Word of God wants us to do. The Word of God wants us to hear, understand, and listen attentively. And we're going to see that the result is that, verse 25 said, I'm going to be blessed in what I do. I want to be blessed. I want some fruit. I want increase in my life. I don't know about you. I don't want to go through a process and look around and there's no fruit. There's no increase. I'm at the same place I was last year. I don't want to be in that position as a believer, you know, and obeying the Word of God and being a person of purpose. Sometimes we have distractions from hearing or listening. You know, for some of you, maybe that sound might be a distraction. For me, sometimes I need to be totally quiet in order to study and prepare. I can't have outside noises. And outside noises sometimes can be a distraction. But I also have inside noises. It's not always the outside noises that distract me from receiving or listening. I have inside noises. See, I'm only going to talk about myself. I'm talking about just me. And if it fits where you are, you can walk with me there, right? Sometimes my inside noise, my busiest inside noise, I think, is just busyness. I just get busy doing stuff. And I'm not sure if it's what I'm supposed to be doing right there, but I just get busy doing things, and it doesn't even have to be done maybe right then. Sometimes the inside noise sounds like fear or worry. It sounds like how my finances are short. Inside noises could be health issues. It could be rebellion. Sometimes there are inside noises that prevent us from listening, hearing, doing, receiving. So we got to be aware of distractions in the process of listening, hearing, doing. Step two. On this point, we're talking about listening and hearing, doing. The test of hearing, when I want to find out if I've heard or if my children have heard, the test of hearing is do they follow through and do. So the test of hearing is doing. If you hear something, if you hear direction, you follow through with doing it. Now, if you don't do it, either you didn't hear it or we're choosing to not do it. Step two, verse number 21. Put out of your life all that is unclean and wrong. This is the New Living Version, I believe, New Life Version. Verse two says, put out of your life all that is unclean and wrong. The New King James Version says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Same meaning. You don't have to turn here, but in, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says in the New Life Version, all these many people who have had faith in God are around us like a cloud. Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. This is Hebrews 12, if you want to make a note, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading a version called New Life Version. Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. Let us keep running in the race that God has planned for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. Our faith comes from Him, and He is the one who makes it perfect. He did not give up when He had to suffer shame and die on a cross. He knew of the joy that would be His later, and now He's sitting at the right side of God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. So we need to, in step 2, we need to make sure that we are laying aside or giving up or getting rid of anything that would hold us back from doing the will of God. Step 3. Okay. It says, humbly, I believe this is New King James. Humbly accept or receive the word that has been planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. I'm sorry, New King James says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with a gentle spirit the word that was taught. And that's what we're doing now. The word planted in you. Right now, the word is being planted on the inside of you. And with meekness and humility, we're receiving it because we want to be teachable. We want to learn more about the word. Step 4, if we go to verse 22 now. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Obey the word of God. Do not merely listen to the word so to deceive yourselves, but do what the word says. That's the NIV version. Don't merely listen to the word that you deceive yourselves, but do what the word says. Here's what do means. It means that we actually perform an action. That we actually do a task. We take action in a particular situation. We accomplish, we carry out, we act, we achieve, and this is the best one I like. We get something done. So when I hear the command, when I hear the word, my next step is get something done. Do something with what I've just learned and heard. When I teach my children to read, I expect them to be able to read a paragraph. We work really hard on what we're doing in the classroom, and I want to see the fruit of that work in the fact that when they go to school on the first day of first grade, that they're going to be able to read from their first official first grade reader because of what they've learned in kindergarten. Well, that brings a sense of achievement and satisfaction of getting something done. As we complete, listen and do, lay aside the things that may hinder us, receive the word with humility and a gentle spirit, come do the word, get something done. In the NIV it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, which we're doing now, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There's a blessing in listening, hearing, doing, and receiving the word. There's a blessing. There's a reward. In what I do, whatever I put my hands to do, whatever I give my task to do, there's a blessing in the completion. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's challenging, but I believe if I stay with that task of whatever it is I'm doing, it's going to produce fruit. And in the process, I'm learning, I'm growing. You know, a few summers ago, I was in St. Cloud with my brother. I took my parents there for a vacation. They hadn't been in a few years, and my dad and mom don't drive. They're 80, in their early 80s. And so I volunteered to drive them to St. Cloud, Minnesota. And on the way there, we did it in 2 days. It's about 700 miles. St. Cloud is 60 miles north of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And so we drove there for a visit. And stay there about 7 days. We had a really good time. My brother and his family, they were glad we came. But at my brother's home, there was a garden plots. The people that wanted to could actually, you know, they had tilled the ground, and anybody who wanted to, I think there was a small fee, they could actually develop their own gardens. And he took me out to take a look at his garden. And I think that was the second year maybe that he had actually taken advantage of planting his own vegetable garden, and his looked pretty good. But I began to notice the gardens, because we were there for 7 weeks, and I'm an early riser, so I began to notice people tending their garden. In the morning, they had a sun hat, tools, gloves, and they would go out in their plot. They were all labeled, maybe 10 plots of vegetables, and pull the weeds, water, whatever gardeners do to make their vegetables healthy and productive. I don't know, because I don't do the vegetable garden thing, but I began to notice that. And then after a few days, I said, let me go take a closer look at this garden. And I went back out there again, usually in the morning, because in the middle of the day it's pretty hot. And I noticed that some plots of the 10 were healthier, looked more vibrant, the vegetables were growing, than other plots. And I thought about that. Somebody out here knows what they're doing. And some people are just struggling along, right? It was obvious from looking at that spread of gardens that there were some successful gardeners. Weeds were gone. The tomatoes were, you know, growing on the vines. You could see some, maybe cauliflower, no, not cauliflower, squash, because they kind of come out with that little yellow. Okay, maybe it was squash. I saw greens. I saw the beginning of lettuce or cabbage. I saw some green beans growing. I saw a lot of peppers. I saw red peppers, you know, that were growing. So there were some successful gardeners who had learned how to garden and were actually producing fruit. And there were some. My brother was kind of in between with his. He hadn't had time to weed his garden, and I didn't volunteer to do it because he was working while we were there. He took off a few days, but I'm on vacation. So somebody at your house is going to take care of your garden, but it won't be your sister. So, but anyway, I looked at those gardens and I thought about in August or September, how it must feel to go out there and pick your own vegetables. See, Sister Joyce Sales said, it's wonderful. Joyce, I'm going to come to see you this summer. So you must have a garden. Or you know about, I mean, I'm like, I don't know what to do. What do you do? You know, where do you start? You have a little seed. All I know, it takes some work. It has to take some work. I said, but wow, what must it be like to get this big container and take these vegetables in and put them on your table? And you grew everything there. I thought, you got to feel good. You know, you got to feel proud. And it's okay, right? Because you labored to produce that garden. What are we laboring for? What are we listening and hearing and doing and producing in our lives? I want my garden to be full. I want my garden to be full and overflowing with fruit of increase, spiritual fruit of increase. I like tomatoes and beefsteak tomatoes. I like cucumbers and all those vegetables. And they're healthy. But think of it the same way. About our spiritual lives. Our garden should be full of all the fruit of listening, hearing attentively, acting, performing, getting something done. And the Bible says that man, that woman, that person will be blessed, overflowing vegetables. You know, some people grow so many vegetables, they have to give them away. You need some tomatoes today? You know, you have people at work that bring you fruit stuff out of their garden? Now that person is a gardener. If you have enough vegetables that you can't use all of them and you bring them and give them away, you know what you're doing. You know, okay, thank you. Really, and you enjoy that. You enjoy the labors of their hand. I will work in my garden like plants. I've learned how to do some planting, which is fun. I do annuals and perennials. And then what I've learned is if you need to learn about gardening in that respect and maybe vegetable gardening, I go to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever there's a garden center and hang around the people who are going to the plants that are discounted. I was like, what? So all these gardeners go over to this big shelf of 75% off plants that look like they're dead. Like, what are they going to do with those? But just walk around and listen to them And so I started doing that early on when I was getting perennials and trying to find out what grows in the sun and what needs shade. And gardeners are friendly people. They'll just talk to you. Well, if you take this one right here, and I'm just listening. I mean, you just got to absorb it. And I was like, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to take it back home. I'm going to take it out of here. And now I don't buy the dead stuff because what I buy might die anyway. So I can't start with the dead stuff. I can't. If it's 75% off, that's a good deal. But if it's almost dead, how's that go? I don't know how to bring it back to life. So I got to go with something that's really nutritious and healthy right now and try to maintain that for the rest of the summer. And the perennials right now, my yard is starting to come back up because they come back from year to year. And then I put my annuals like begonias or impatiens, I put those in pots and just stick them, you know, around for color. But I've learned a lot from listening. And they're so friendly. Little ladies, they come in and I look like I'm just don't know a thing. And we start this conversation. Well, this one right here is called a so-and-so and water it so many times a day. And so I'm listening and I've been receiving and I'm going to hang around the gardeners who are doing vegetables. And I keep saying I may just start with tomatoes this year, which is, I think they say is easy. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.